If everyone will please open to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. While everyone is opening, I want you to listen to two calls of attention I want to point out. First thing is, anyone that is on the far end of this hall or this building, I want to call for your attention, because I was observing on throughout this whole camp, you know, we have a tendency as human beings, the further we sit from the speaker, the less attention we have towards him. And I know it's unfortunate that you're so far away, but I want all of you, and I hope you can hear me loud and clear, I want all of you to pay attention, because this is, you know, this may not be something that we were covering earlier this camp, but this is an actual exposition of the Word. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to every one of us here. The second thing I want to call to attention is Brother Paul mentioned in his sermon that the Word spoken to us can actually hurt us. And how you may ask, how can it actually hurt us? Because if the Word spoken to us, convicting us, and we don't take action, if we don't take into consideration that Word which we hear, then it will definitely hurt us. So the reason why I like this camp, and I want to thank Brother Benjamin for inviting myself and my brothers, because, you know, I myself am in the youth ministry, and it's very important, or it's very critical to me to see, you know, different sides of youth, different, you know, West Coast, East Coast. And, you know, as the brother from Russia, when he was speaking, he said that, you know, the youth is basically the same. And I agree with him. Youth is the same everywhere. But the biggest thing, you know, we have had a great worship service last night, and we're having a great service today. But there's only one thing that saddens me. And one thing that saddens me is that not everyone, yes, we're all church members. We're all church members on paper, we could say. But not everyone here is where they need to be. And that was mentioned throughout this camp, that you can be a church member, but you're not where you're supposed to be. And so that's the topic that we would be discussing today. The topic today is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The purpose of this sermon is to hear the words and commandments of Jesus Christ for my life today, and from the hearing of the word, awake my mind to a state of sound-mindedness. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we will start from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? And that's the verse I would like us to focus on. Verse 9, Jesus Christ says, Philip, I've been with you so large period of time, and you still don't know the Father. You still don't know me. And I got to thinking when I read this, when I read the word here, you know, that's very similar to us. The majority of us here are raised in a Christian atmosphere. We have Christian parents. We hear the word from age 3, from age 2. You know what? In our tendency of mankind, we get used to things. Philip, the same way. He heard the word, you must be born again. We read this earlier in the Gospel of John. He saw Jesus Christ feeding the over 5,000. He saw the healing power of God through Jesus Christ. And we read all this before. And also, he's heard Jesus Christ saying, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he still doesn't know him. He does not know the Father. You know what? And I think there are people here that are in the same position as Philip, that have heard it all. And I want to mention that one point, that anything that is going to be said today is not going to be anything new to us. Just because we're raised in this surrounding of Christianity. And that is not a bad thing, of course. That is a true blessing for us. But we must engage our minds to focus on the Word, to focus what God is telling us. You know, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, we read these words, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." That is the world we live in today. There is no knowledge of God in the land. And that's what surrounds us. And that's why we must be on the guard of our minds. Proverbs 2, 4, and 5, we read these words, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand for the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We must seek. So I'd like to point out six necessities or six points where we can that we must focus on to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives. And the first is a drawing or an interest toward a relationship. We read verse 5 in the Gospel of John. Thomas said unto Jesus, we read, "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" We see Thomas is curious. He has this curiosity. He's interested. He wants to know. And that's one thing that we must seek, knowledge. And I'm not talking knowledge as, you know, the secular knowledge. We must seek the knowledge from the Word of God, that we can have this drawing, we can have this interest, we can be drawn near to the thought that we want to have a relationship with Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 12, we have an example of a person that does not seek, that did not prepare his heart for the Lord, and that's Rehoboam. And we read 14th verse of chapter 12, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." That's the first thing I want us to focus on. Prepare our heart to seek the Lord. The second point, glorification. Glorify God. Romans 1:21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened." Glorifying God in all that I do. You know what? I know we have this tendency of, when we come to church, that's when we focus on glorification. That's when we focus on worship. That's when we focus on praise. What about when we're outside of church? That's when we forget about glorification of God. That's when we forget about our actions glorifying God, our words glorifying God, our thoughts glorifying God. If you will, please turn to Daniel chapter 4. This is a perfect example of a person that chooses not to glorify God. And then God works with him. And then the result, we see pure glorification of the Lord. Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and from the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords saw unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellence, majesty was added unto me. Verse 37, pay attention. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You know what? It's always mind-boggling to me. Why do we reject this mindset of glorifying God until God starts working in our lives, until we have sorrow, until we have pain, until we have trouble? And then we come to a realization of glorifying God. And the sad part is, we don't always come to a realization of glorifying God. And God starts working with us again and again and again. Point number three, acknowledgement of his control. Romans 1, 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. You know what? We heard the Astoria Youth, I believe it is, sing the song, I Surrender All. Acknowledgement in our mind that our life is totally surrendered to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is controlling my life and not I. I surrender all. You know what? The fourth point, having faith, believing in this acknowledgement. And we heard a good bit about faith earlier this camp. Going back to the Gospel of John, the passage we read, verse 10. Do you not believe, Jesus Christ is saying this to Philip. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Do you not believe? You know, sometimes we acknowledge, but we don't really believe. And that's critical in our life. If we acknowledge, if we glorify, we acknowledge, we must believe. We must believe in that acknowledgement that Jesus is controlling my life. Point number five, having the fear of God. You know, in Proverbs, when we read Proverbs, we read a lot about the fear of God. And, you know, Proverbs is a book, or we can say a exhortment of a father to a son. The words of exhortment from a father to a son. And we read, my son, hear the instruction of the father in verse 1. And then chapter 1. And then later on in chapter 1, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And throughout the whole book, the father is teaching the son of the fear of the Lord. And then chapter 18, verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. That's the key right there, that the father wants the son to know. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. You know, a lot of times we question, when we hear the fear of the Lord, you know, how is it practically? How is the fear of the Lord supposed to practically be in my life? You know, because the word fear, you know, we think of, we're actually scared. But that's not really what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord, practical fear of the Lord in my life, is a constant mindset solely focused on the fact that Jesus Christ is in control of my life and he's being pleased with what I'm doing and how I'm living. I don't remember, I'm pretty sure a lot of us remember back in the 90s, something very popular was the WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, it got blown out of proportion, of course, but so much truth in that, though. That's the fear of the Lord. In anything I do, my mind constantly says, what would Jesus do? What are you doing? Would Jesus be pleased in my words? Would Jesus be pleased in my actions? Brother Paul, in his sermon, pointed out the verse in Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. You must fear the Lord to receive compassion from him. That's the bottom line. Last point, point number six. Growing in the relationship with Jesus Christ. There's two sub-points under that one. First is understanding the will of God. Ephesians, Apostle Paul writes, chapter 5, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is for your life, for my life. That's point number one in growing in the relationship. Do I know what the will of God is for my life? And of course, knowing is not enough. And that brings to the second point. Knowing is not enough. The second point, doing the will of God. Psalm 143, verse 10, David writes these words, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprighteousness. Teach me to do thy will. I know thy will, but teach me to do it. I must do the will. Knowing the will is not enough. I must do the will. That requires action on my part. And I want to point out one thing. You know, this is not an overnight thing. This is not something that you realize and it's there. You know, this is a process. This has to be practiced daily. Day to day, hour to hour. And eventually, we will be taught to do the will of the Lord in our lives. You know, and the brightest example of one that does the will of the Lord is our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on earth, you know, he had the life, he was living the life, wholly committed to doing the will of God. He was oppressed, he was afflicted. In Isaiah verse 53, we read, he was oppressed, afflicted, wounded, and bruised for our iniquities. And yet while in the climax of pain, sorrow, betrayal, he prays to the Father these amazing words. Not my will be done, but thine. We cannot have a better set example. Jesus Christ was in agony, in pain. He obviously didn't want to be in that situation. But the will of God is him to be there. And he says, not my will be done, but thine. And later in Isaiah, we read, that pleased the Lord. That is what pleases the Lord when we reject our own will in our lives and do the will of God. And of course, throughout the whole life of Jesus Christ on earth, John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John chapters 5 and 6, we read, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You know, and this is what we should focus on here. We're hearing the word. We must do. We must take action. You know, a great man of God, a preacher once said, you know, instead of seeking how to be closer to God, an abundance of Christian people are busy with a whole different thing, stubbornly debating their case to be as close to sin as they can be in various aspects of life. Everything seems right, everything explainable, everything lawful, and yet Christianity is becoming more and more weak, churches the less influential, and Christians the more hopeless. Folks, we must focus on finding out the will of God for our lives and performing and doing that will in our lives. We must not focus on these things. We must not ask questions that don't really matter in the big realm, because the Lord wants us to do His will. You know, before I close, I wanted every one of us to ask ourselves some questions. Everyone to themselves. Forget about the neighbor sent to the right or the left or across from you. It's just the Word of God and you. On what level is my relationship with Jesus Christ today? When I look at my level, at the relationship with Jesus Christ in my life today, must I take action? And the call to action, you know, the question, is my heart prepared for a relationship with Christ? That's the first thing we must check. If we don't have a prepared heart, we won't be able to have a relationship with Christ. Second question is my life glorifying God? Are my actions, my words, my thoughts, my relationships, my job, my school, my family, is that glorifying to God? Third thing, have I acknowledged that Christ is my Savior and He is in control of my life? Have I 100% acknowledged that thought in my life? You know what? Jesus Christ does not need 75%. He does not need 86. He does not need 99. 100% or none. Acknowledgement of Christ controlling our lives. Fourth question, do I believe in that acknowledgement? Do I have faith in that which I acknowledge? Do I have belief in that? Fifth question, am I living in the fear of God? Do I have a constant mindset that Jesus Christ is in control of my life and all that I do must glorify Him and be according to His will? And the last question, am I constantly growing in my relationship with Christ? And of course, here is our relationship with the Word of God, our relationship through prayer, through fellowship with the believers. Am I constantly growing in my relationship with Christ? Or am I standing on one spot, just not doing anything? If you're standing on one spot, I want to point one thing out. You will not be growing, but going downhill. Your relationship with Christ will not stand in one spot. If you're not working to grow in the relationship with Christ, you're going down. Folks, I want all of us to embrace the Word. Embrace that which the Holy Spirit speaks to us and leave this camp taking action. Every single person here, including myself, take action in my life. What am I going to change to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in my life? Because coming to church, singing in choir, singing beautiful hymns is not my relationship with Christ. And we can all do that because we're raised in the surrounding. But folks, are we doing the will of God in our lives? Can we truly say Jesus Christ is in control of my life and it is not my own? May His name be glorified through our life and in the actions that we take leaving this camp. Amen.